Welcome to More or Less on the BBC World Service. We're the programme about the numbers all around us, in the news and in life. And I'm Josephine Cassidy.
So this was a shocking moment. And if this really happens in Africa, will we be able to handle it?
Early March in Addis Ababa, Ethiopia, and four people are sitting in an air-conditioned meeting room and looking in disbelief at some infographics.
It's a PDF from Imperial College model that was trying to predict over 3 million deaths across the African continent if nothing is unmitigated.
This was an emergency planning meeting at the Africa Centre for Disease Control. One of the attendees was Dr. Justin Myerder. He's a Tanzanian epidemiologist and head of the Surveillance and Disease Intelligence Unit at the African Centre for Disease Control, or CDC. They monitor trends in diseases on the continent, and the data they're collating, primarily from national governments, shows that the prediction of a million deaths hasn't materialised. The official count puts deaths at just under 19,000. But how much do we really know about what's going on with COVID in Africa? Dr. Myerder says the death toll would have been higher if it wasn't for the swift and decisive action of many governments.
Most of African countries took the public health measures to control the epidemic very early on. Most of countries started closing their borders. So I think that managed to limit the early increase of cases within the continent.
Now, as lockdowns ease, cases and deaths are rising in some places, but recorded deaths are nowhere near the levels in the US and Europe.
Do you think that the data that's coming out of Africa on cases and deaths, do you think that that data is reliable? Is it accurate?
Okay, looking at the numbers in Africa, these are based on what is being reported. So these are the reported cases. And when you see the numbers, there are two hypotheses. One is that this is the real observation. Two might be the ability to detect the cases.
And although lots of countries have ramped up their testing capacity significantly,
we still have a lot of countries that have a few centralized points for testing. So if a case happened in a remote area, the likelihood of that case to be tested decreases. Second is also because we have few testing points and then there's an increased demand. So it ends up with a serious backlog of samples that are waiting to be tested.
Take Ghana, for example. It has one of the better resourced healthcare systems in Africa, and it's testing more than many other countries. But there are still issues with the data available.
To be able to answer the critical questions that we are interested in an epidemic, we need to have data that actually allows us to draw the correct inferences.
Nana Kofi Kwakye is a public health researcher from Ghana. He's a PhD candidate at New York University, but he's currently back home where he's been watching the outbreak carefully.
One of the challenges Ghana's having, though, is that in some cases there can be delays between sampling and lab confirmation of, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, in some cases 6 weeks.
So for these cases, tracking and tracing contacts would have started weeks after testing, too late to be useful.
So those are some of the dynamics at play with the testing here.
Nana was impressed by Ghana's response at the start of the outbreak.
The response was, in its initial phases, generally pretty quick. If you compare how Ghana initially reacted to how many countries in the West reacted to it, our initial response was aggressive. The first cases were announced on March 12th.
The borders were closed just over a week later, and
by March 28th, the lockdown had already been announced.
As lockdown restrictions have eased, new cases have risen to around 600 a day. But there are still only a handful of people recorded as dying from COVID each day in Ghana. Like other African countries, Ghana has a very young age profile, which might have helped to keep the death rate low. But Nana's worried that the data available might not show the whole picture.
So people are in hospitals or in care homes, they die, and that data gets recorded. That's reliable because all the deaths that happen in those institutions generally get recorded. Whereas many of the deaths that happen at home, the main way you'd be able to get that is through a death certificate from your local assembly or from a health facility. The challenge, though, is that in rural areas, that generally might not be happening. and also because of some culture and religious practices around speedy burials, it might be challenging also to get a full sense of what's going on at any given time.
This is a big problem, especially at a time when people might be avoiding hospitals because they're very busy or for fear of contracting the virus. And that's why there's one key measure. It's called excess deaths. It tells us how many more people are dying than we would have expected based on previous data. And it encompasses those who've died from COVID, whether recorded as such or not, and everyone who might have died as an indirect result of the pandemic, for example, because they couldn't get treatment for another illness. But no such data is available for Ghana.
That's another one of the good lessons that COVID-19 is teaching us here, the value of good data. Generally speaking, data on mortality in Ghana isn't very comprehensive. The vast majority of deaths that actually occur don't include a cause of death that's determined by a medical expert or a pathologist, and a lot of deaths go unrecorded. So the baseline data itself is challenging.
Most sub-Saharan African countries have similar issues with incomplete death registration. The Africa CDC only knows of two countries which are measuring excess deaths, Zambia and South Africa. Zambia's data isn't published yet, but the South African Medical Research Council released a report recently. It estimated that there'd been around 17,000 excess deaths. That's 59% more than expected. It came as a shock, as there have only been around 7,500 confirmed COVID deaths. So about 10,000 are unaccounted for. It's unknown how many of these are COVID deaths and how many are deaths from other causes. And in South Africa, cause of death isn't published until at least a year after the date of death. So we could be waiting until way into 2021 before we know what's behind the increase. Do you think that that could be happening in other countries as well, that there are lots of deaths just going under the radar, and they could be from COVID or they could be from people avoiding healthcare services or not receiving other treatment?
Sure, this could be happening in many countries. And I have very few examples of countries that are doing the same, like South Africa. We have launched a program called Rapid Mortality Surveillance to support countries to accelerate their recording and death audits by training personnel who can go into the community.
They'll take what's called a verbal autopsy, asking the family a set of questions to determine the probable cause of death. And there are other innovations that the Africa CDC is initiating, which should improve data quality, says Nana.
One of the challenges we've had with that testing and consequently with contact tracing and everything has come from a difficulty with the supply chain for testing.
For example, Africa has a shortage of chemicals called testing reagents. That's because they haven't had the buying power to compete with Western countries in the world market for these sought-after products.
And there are some really interesting and exciting policy proposals at the continental level to pool resources to allow us to be more competitive in the marketplace. So the collective action has some promise to make it so that that supply chain becomes more consistent, and that should help the reliability and speed of the testing data, which should also then be able to inform the entire policy trajectory a little more in real time.
Thanks to Nana Kofi Kwakye and to Dr. Justin Maeda. That's all we have time for this week, but please keep your questions and comments coming to moreorless@bbc.co.uk.